Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Merry Hump Day, Dominic, the last live show that you and I will perform together before the Christmas holiday.
Happy Hump Day, Crudy, happy solstice to all in our audience. Thank you, Evan, on the board, screening your calls and working the magic. It is a Wednesday that feels like a Friday, and I'm feeling good today, buddy.
As am I. Here's what, you know, let's go off track. Tangent just a little bit.
We had a big play of an hour. It's going to wing it. Well, okay, go.
Let's see. All right. What do you want for Christmas this year? Because I've got a wish for you, Dominic. I have a Christmas wish for you. A, that you find Jesus Christ as your savior, so you're not bound for hell forever.
Not going to happen, but please continue.
Oh, and B, for you, my friend.
Yes, yes.
A better attitude. Yours kind of sucks today.
This is as good as it gets, man. This is as good as it gets. Oh, come on. You come on. I mean, my entire lifetime, I'm more jovial and laid back now than I've ever been.
Come on, man. You were busting my chestnuts not 15 yeah. minutes ago.
Oh, that's business. We're just talking a little work stuff, man. You know how that goes. I want world peace. World peace would be nice. I want justice to be done. And I did buy myself a laptop. I finally had to replace my laptop that I spilled some booze on when I was visiting Izzy. It was finally done. So I had to go get myself a laptop. So, you know, really very, very little Christmassy going on for me on my end, man. I spent a lot of money doing that.
Well, first and foremost, every Christmas, I want good guests. And we got the finest of guests today, so that will not be a problem. John Nichols from The Nation joining us in just a little bit. 4:30 Central Time, John joins us, and James Antel, a recent guest, the returning champ, he's back, former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannolis, skip this week, you know, Christmas Eve and all.
Yeah, so if you want to hear Jim, you got to come around here today at 5 o'clock, because that's you're going to get your Jim fix then.
Clark, he's the gift that keeps on giving. So we got Jim Santel, and we'll talk about, you know, release the taxes. But where I want to start today, I think Tony Evers, the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, has a gift, a proposal for you, Dom, for me. I'm going to throw Ebone in there as well. Perhaps all the fine listeners of this show. You, Tony Evers, proposes a Christmas gift for you. Dom, legalize marijuana.
I am dreaming of a green Christmas, Crudy.
I think we all are, aren't we, Dom?
That part will come true as well.
Well, perhaps the Democratic governor, who was democratically elected, unless you ask Tim Michaels.
If you believe him. If you believe in elections, he was.
Well, he's been out doing budget listing sessions. Right now, it's budget time. You don't think of it. Because, of course, we haven't even had an inauguration of Tony Evers for a second term. But we've got budget preparations coming. And we've got promises, Dom. Tony Evers said he'll reintroduce a plan to legalize marijuana for recreational use as part of the budget he unveils to lawmakers early next year.
Yeah, baby.
Our pal, Sean Johnson, at Wisconsin Public Radio reporting. But here's the big but. But Evers said he'd also sign a bill to legalize medicinal marijuana if the GOP sent one to his desk. And sadly, Dom, that might be the best we can hope for. This is not the first time that Tony has put legalized marijuana in his budget. And I would point out, Tony Evers, when there were a lot of people running for governor back in 2018, there were a few candidates that, let's just say, were leading from the left on this issue. But Tony was not. Tony was not down for legalized recreational marijuana, not as a candidate, but, you know, he's evolved. We all do. Time is turned. The calendar is turned. And Tony's opinion on legalizing marijuana has also turned. And he put it in a budget last time, and I was somewhat encouraged. I'm like, Tony, there you go, man. And then the Republicans destroyed, Dom, I would say, our dreams of legalized cannabis here in the state of Wisconsin. At least the kind we like, you know, the good stuff.
Oh, man, the Republicans are such a buzzkill. Not the near beer stuff. You know, I mean, even the polling, what, like a half of Republicans are down for legalized weed.
I'm sure that those that receive donations from the Tavern League, less so. And here's the problem. Tony Evers is going to put it in his budget, and then Republicans are going to take Tony's budget, and like they did 2 years ago, Dom, they're going to shred it. They're going to throw it away, and they're going to start over. Despite the will of the people of Wisconsin, the listening sessions, they're done now. And I'll just say after the fact, don't waste your time. The will of the people in the great state of Wisconsin is not served under the legislative gerrymander that, you know, puts these Republicans in power like a tick. And they're not letting go, Don. They're not letting go. They're like Fred Preen, the DNR guy, that he won't quit. He won't quit. He's been replaced. His term is done, but he's not leaving. Well, these Republicans, Dom, they baked partisan gerrymandering into the cake back in 2011. And here we are, another decade of it. And the only chance we have for any sort of representative governance, you know, and other than Crudy's harebrained scheme about citizen initiative, you know, binding referendums, which aren't going to happen because we need the support of the legislative majority, which currently Republicans, they ain't giving up the power. So they're going to take Tony's budget, they're going to throw it in the shredder, and then they're going to hand back a budget that includes a big fat tax cut for rich people, a huge expansion in the taxpayer-funded choice school program, and no legalized marijuana, and probably insufficient revenue sharing and insufficient funding of our schools and higher education. Another kid-friendly, people-friendly Republican crap budget.
So Tony Evers, last time around when he put legalized recreational marijuana in the budget, did not stand by it, right? They took it out.
Did not fight for it.
Whatever. Yeah. He took it out and he accepted what they gave them. I hope he has a different attitude this time. Number one, we have a huge surplus to deal with right now in the state of Wisconsin, which is a great thing. Those are good problems to have. It's better than having a deficit, right? And so there should be lots of money to go towards lots of things. We have investment to catch up on in many, many areas in this state. Evers is not going to be down for expanded school vouchers and all that. And what, you're just going to have two identical school programs and funding one of them and not the other? I mean, how's this going to work? And he's not going to be down for tax breaks for the wealthy. I don't see, unless it's part of a greater scheme of overall tax rates for the middle class and others, I don't see how that goes down. So if you're going to end up fighting over $6 billion, you're going to end up fighting over school choice and funding the public schools, you're going to end up fighting over these issues, and, you know, certainly legalized cannabis in the state of Wisconsin is something worth fighting for. As the reporting, as Sean writes at WPR, Wisconsin, Crudy, we know this, is on its way to becoming an island among Midwest states when it comes to recreational marijuana. Hell yeah, that's why we go to Illinois and Detroit. Already, marijuana is legal in Illinois and Michigan and Minnesota. Governor Tim Walz, a Democrat, said his state will pass a bill to legalize marijuana by May. By May! 37 states allow for medicinal use of cannabis products, and a total of 21 states also allow for the sale of recreational marijuana. 21 states surrounded by, in Wisconsin, you're surrounded, Minnesota coming up on in May. Come on, you guys. This is, and we're, what are we doing? We're giving up several hundred million dollars a year, at least $200 million a year in tax revenue, let alone the job creation, let alone the how this affects and impacts and takes away some of the disparities in our justice system. All of a sudden, maybe, you know, you won't get, smells like weed, you better get pulled over for that. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. It gives me a pause not to, like, you know, be mad at police officers for pulling people over for weed. So let's get over this, people. It's already been done. It's being done. And if Governor Evers is going to have to fight for a budget anyway, this should be one of the things he fights for.
I hope he does. I'm less than confident. But here's a statement from the governor, Tony Evers. It's going to be in the budget. No question about that. Again, recreational legalized marijuana. But Evers said it was his sense that GOP lawmakers might be willing to accept something less than full legalization. No, what you're saying, Tony, is you're willing to accept something less than full legalization. So thank you for undermining your own position in the very next statement. But let me read on. There's an increasing number of people in the legislature that might be willing to go towards medicinal marijuana, Evers said. Like 88% of people recently polled, Pew Research, I believe, 88% want that. Do you think maybe you could find some Republicans, some reluctant Republicans, to go along with 88% of the people of the state? Well, you know, as long as it doesn't take anything worse than a strongly written press release, as long as Evers doesn't have to actually do anything or accomplish anything. Let me read on. There's an increase. I'm being redundant here, but I want to make sure it's all in context. There's an increasing number of people in the legislature that might be willing to go towards medicinal marijuana. If the legislature can rally around medicinal marijuana, I certainly would sign that bill. Now, the GOP support for medicinal marijuana was tepid last session. Tepid, Dom. Although a handful of Republican lawmakers are vocal supporters, Republicans held a public hearing in April on a plan to legalize the drug for medicinal use. But the move came after the legislature had already adjourned for the year, meaning the bill could not pass. Still, State Senator Mary Feltskowski, Republican from Irma, described the hearing as a significant step to win over reluctant Republican lawmakers. Feltskowski, who is a cancer survivor, said that she wishes medical marijuana had been an option during her recovery. Yes.
It was. It just wasn't a legal option.
Wisconsin is on its way. Well, you talked about it. We're an island surrounded by rational, sensible policy, actual governance, the will of the people being done in all the states around us. But not here, because we're being led by Republicans in a gerrymandered state legislature. And Tony Evers. But you got to do more than wish for it.
Hey, you want to get high, man?
She was living in a single room with three other individuals. One of them was a male, and the other two? Well, the other two were females. God only knows what they were up to in there. And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to learn that all four of them habitually smoke marijuana cigarettes. Reefers.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789. At least this segment, John Nichols from The Nation, going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Dominic, I know what you want every year for Christmas. You're very predictable. A bag of weed.
You know what I like to do, Crudy? I take out a joint, I crunch it up, you know, and break it all up and roll a couple of joints, and I hand them out to my friends and family because it's a wrapped gift. It is the best wrapping that I actually do, and I hand it, hey, I wrapped you a gift. I mean, who doesn't love a loose joint for not even for your birthday or for the holidays, but just in general?
You know what? I prefer, what is it, 12 or 7? I prefer how the Jewish people celebrate the lighting 7 days straight or 9. What is it? The menorah. I forget how many days. I apologize to my Jewish friends, but you know, the joke, the relevance.
Eight. Evan says eight. 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 We're going with eight.
You know, eight loose joints. That would be the perfect gift. One for each of the nights of Hanukkah.
I listen. I understand, Crudy.
Or Kwanzaa, or or even solstice. Solstice.
Thank you. Yes, yes. The solstice is here, baby. Every day gets longer from here on out, at least till June. I understand the criticism for Governor Evers. He's in a tough spot in, to some regard. And I would, at the end of the day, if all he got, if all he was able to do was medicinal marijuana, I would take it, of course. Of course I would take it. And I would go get my card and I would go, you know, explain to my doctor what my ailments were. You know, Republicans stress me out, man. And then I'd go get my medicine. I would not have to worry about being charged with a crime.
You'll get nothing and like it, Spalding. You're not going to get medicinal marijuana. You're not going to get recreational marijuana. You're going to get another Republican budget, probably signed by our Democratic governor and claims of victory somehow. I mean, that's the frustrating part. You know, I get it. The practical political atmosphere we lived in, the intransigence of the Republicans. But you got to be willing to fight for what you care about. If he really cared about this, he wouldn't already undermine his own position by saying, yeah, but give me medicinal marijuana and I'd take that instead. Right? Right.
Yes.
I mean, that undermines your position.
Yes.
This is my bottom line unless you offer me less. And then I'll take
and then
it.
I'll take it.
I mean, right?
But he's not standing. He's not standing and fighting on that hill, man. I mean, he let it go last
he's
time.
He's not fighting
let
on
it go
any
this?
Hill.
Well, I mean, you still, at the end of the day, you got to get a budget passed. There's $6 billion. There's still some issues that they have to agree on to some extent. I mean, it is bipartisan in the sense that Evers has to sign it, man. Every budget is bipartisan by its very nature.
Or you don't sign it until it's more palatable, let's say, to a Democratic administration. The people reelected Tony Evers for a reason. And if all he is there to do is rubber stamp Republican policies, regressive tax flattening for the rich people in the great state of Wisconsin? I mean, they're going to give
he's
away.
He's going to do that? He's not going to do that.
Yes,
I don't believe he's going to do that.
Tony
Evers will not sign a flat tax budget.
We're going to go from like 3.5% the proposition of the Republicans to like 5.5%. And those making the highest marginal, paying the highest marginal tax rates here in the state of Wisconsin, the very highest earners, they're definitely getting a tax cut, Dom. They are definitely getting a tax cut. I mean, Republicans will write this policy. The Joint Finance Committee is 12-4 Republican. And our friend Tony, and I know it's a difficult political position if you aren't willing to stand up and fight for anything, but that's what I elected. That's what we elected. That's what we voted for. The fight to go advocate for our policies, right?
But you also voted for governance, confidence. And you got to move forward, and you got to, you know, you got to deal with the other side, right?
You can use, basically, I mean, how's the federal government being funded? Through ongoing continuing resolution. If Tony Evers fails to sign the new budget, we just continue on the $6.6 billion surplus-generating former budget. The world doesn't end if Tony doesn't sign the budget. You know what I mean? At some point, you get around to it. You know, Scott Walker wanted to go declare his presidential campaign. So eventually he got around to signing the budget. Tony Evers will eventually get around to signing the budget. But put the onus on Republicans to come halfway your way. Don't start by saying, here's my bottom line, unless you want to cut me off at the knees, because I'll be all in for that. As a guy who's done a few negotiated deals this year and throughout my entire career, Dom, I'm a deal maker. I'm a Wheeler dealer. Get something.
Would you take no legal or recreational or medicinal?
Well, that's what took the last two.
I know,
budgets,
what would you take? Would you take zero? I mean, you're going to say I'd rather have nothing than
zero.
Medicinal.
They're not giving you anything. You're not getting anything. It's not like
I'm asking you, Crudy. I'm asking you're the governor. The Republicans come and say, "Okay, we don't want recreational marijuana."
Of course, I'd take the half step.
Yeah, so the Wheeler deal negotiating guy, you do the same thing that Evers is talking about.
I wouldn't lead with that in my negotiations. No, sure, if Republicans want to meet and negotiate out a deal and legalize medicinal marijuana, sure, be reasonable. But they don't even have a reasonable advocacy there. They're not talking about flower. They're not talking about the stuff you smoke in a loose joint. They're talking about some manufactured fake cannabinoids that they might accept, but only if you have cancer and you got three doctor's notes and you're currently in chemo. That's not exactly what you have in mind, Dom. You're looking for the easy pass. I know what you're looking for.
Come on, man. I was on the beach in California. The doctor on the boardwalk, the doctor was in. I went in, I paid the money, I got my medicine. It was real easy.
Yeah, I just skipped the middleman and went straight to the dealer on the beach at Venice Beach. Kid had a great selection, I'll just say. Just like they do in Illinois. Just like they soon will in Minnesota and like they do in Michigan. And it's all legal there. And they collect the tax revenues. And you know what? In Colorado, they all say look towards Colorado. You know what happened in Colorado? The teenage drinking rates went down. The drunk driving rates went down. And the opioid overdose deaths went down. That'd all be terrible under Republican policies. Come back, John Nichols, our good friend. It'll be a Merry Christmas up in here in no time. John Nichols from The Nation. More Devils.
Because we're very high.
From what I've heard, you're using your paper now.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Merry Hump Day, the last live edition before the Christmas celebration, or Hanukkah, or whatever you celebrate up around here. We celebrate fine guests like our current, soon-to-be joining us live via phone. He is John Nichols from The Nation. John, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates. How you doing, man?
Hey, John.
Oh, doc. Hey, brothers. Doctor my eyes, man. What a nice intro for this moment in our history.
John, you
know? We've seen too much.
I think so, man.
John, I'd play a little Christmas music for you, but in light of, you know, how the last heartless station ingloriously left the airwaves, it's sort of a bad thing around here. We don't play Christmas music much.
Really? Oh, yeah, because it's like in the old Soviet Union when they went to certain kind of classical music, right? You knew something really bad had happened.
Right.
Now, in this case, I love Christmas music, so I got no trouble with it, and I don't want to join in your, you know, fruitless boycott of it. But I will tell you that, you know, if it's not Christmas, it should be Jackson Brown.
Well, John, let me ask you. We were just playing a little, you know, radio game, but what do you want for Christmas? Well, what I really wanted for Christmas was a Trump indictment, but we got criminal referrals. I'd like to see the man's taxes. Those should be coming in short order. And if Tony Evers could just bring my little buddy Dominic some legal buds, he'd be doing just fine. So, well, John, what do you want for Christmas, and what's realistic, sir?
Oh, well, you see, that's a two. Of course, I want peace in Ukraine. All right. I would take that because I think that would be a very nice way to play things out for the year. And if I could do one other thing, if I get to be greedy, I put peace in Ukraine in my stocking under the tree. I'd like to tax billionaires at the same level we did during World War II and into the 1950s, about 92-95%. So you give me those, I'll take, you know, I'll have a Bud Light.
You know, an attitude like that's going to get your Twitter account canceled, John Nichols.
No. If you own Twitter, you know, I say nice things about you. But I'm not sure he's even in charge anymore.
But he is.
Have a poll where the people voted that he should give it up.
Well, we don't poll because they would tell us to replace Dom, and we don't want to hear that.
I don't believe it for a minute.
I don't know about that, man. I've been seeing some of those results coming in, and Dom's looking pretty strong in the suburbs.
Well, John, let me ask you. Legalized marijuana, Tony claims, and new reporting says, we could get legalized marijuana for Christmas, maybe by next year. But I'm a little suspicious, John. I know that every time Tony Evers puts something in the budget, Republicans just put the budget in the shredder.
Yeah, I mean,
and hand it back to them. I mean, we're not getting legalized marijuana. We get bubkis, except tax cuts for the rich, probably.
Well, the problem is, you know, it's like I think you'd have to be smoking something to think that a governor on his own could get you legalized marijuana. I wish he could. But until you get Robin Voss, you know, to go with you to Bonnaroo and to kind of open his eyes to recognize the possibilities, I think you got a problem because Robin Voss has made it very clear that he's just not a party guy. You know, I mean, somebody, what was the mistake along the way? Didn't he, where did Robin Boss go to college? Was it Whitewater?
He was college roommates with Reince Priebus, I believe. They were young Republicans at Whitewater, right? Weren't they? And Paul Ryan, yeah, I think, was also colleagues at the time.
No, Ryan was over to Ohio. Oh, Ryan went to Ohio, and I know.
My bad.
But it's okay. But I'm just thinking, like, didn't somebody, like, give him a Traffic album or a Grateful Dead album?
Right. John, it is frustrating, and we read some of the reporting today. Illinois, Michigan, they're legal recreational marijuana there. Minnesota's going to do it in May, but here we have, yep, you know, in Wisconsin, an island in the Midwest, and Robin Voss and Republicans, even with the polling, I think Marquette said 83% are down, citizens of Wisconsin are polled are down with legal medicinal marijuana, and like 60-some percent, sure, were down for recreational. So it's not like the demand isn't there. It is, John, is it so callous and calculated that it's just a matter of whatever legal weed, you know, lobby starts cutting checks to the Republicans? I mean, is that what it takes?
Oh, yeah, I think it really helped. am I supposed to lie to people or what? I mean, if we're going to be honest with folks, right, the Republican Party has made it pretty clear that it responds to money. That is sort of the whole point of the modern Republican Party, aside from some creepy authoritarian tendencies that have come into play recently. I hate to say that, but yes, that probably would help if you're really calculating these things out. The other thing that would of course solve the problem, and we unfortunately don't have it, is a referendum system. You know, in other states where you're allowed to put this on the ballot, of course it wins. People vote for it. They even vote for it in, like, the Dakotas. It would win in Wisconsin overwhelmingly. And the problem is that we lack that avenue. And so ultimately, if you want to get to progress on a host of issues, that includes legalization of marijuana, but you've run a whole list of other issues, you're going to have to change the makeup of the legislature. And the only way that's going to happen is if you undo gerrymandering. The only way undoing gerrymandering will happen is if progressives take control of the state Supreme Court and they get a redistricting case and actually decide it as it should be decided, which is to let the voters pick their officials rather than letting the officials pick their voters.
John Nichols, I love that notion that we perhaps could cast upon those we elected what we would want them to do instead of the other way around. Just to correct
crazy,
the record.
I know.
When Priebus and Voss were in school together, college roommates at UW-Whitewater, so was Andy Speth, Paul Ryan's chief of staff. That's probably where I had the bad illusion from. And Jim Ladwick,
Paul
Racine County executive.
But I think Paul went to Miami of Ohio. And the last question I have is where Brian Schimming, the new chairman of the Republican Party, went. And I'm not clear on that, but I think he might have gone to Whitewater, too. So there's a Whitewater thing here in play.
Well, Whitewater, all the finest broadcasters come from UW La Crosse, I hear, John.
I totally have heard that. It's pretty well written. It's writ large in the stars. But I'm just telling you that what was there? I mean, Whitewater had to have a record store in its day. And again, I'm going to go to my point. You know, like, why didn't someone play the Grateful Dead for these guys?
Well, here's,
you know, why didn't they introduce them to, you know, some alternative way of looking at things, at which point they would say, yeah, I fooled around a little in my youth, and I think it's fine if we legalize marijuana.
Well, John, they apparently hung out, did a lot of on-campus political things, young Republicans that they were, and as Robin Voss said, they say it's something in the water. As Reince would say, it's probably something in the beer, you know, that made them all so political.
Very proud of Wisconsin, the beer state, you know, and I totally respect that part of our legacy. But, you know, again, I think it would have been very good for them if they had kind of mixed it up a little, right?
If they'd have known us in college, John, this state would be much cooler.
That's all I'm trying to tell you. You know, I just think this isn't a very complicated thing, except that it is affecting policymaking. And yeah. I fear, my friends, that you're cute little fantasy about getting legalized marijuana in Wisconsin is getting upset by the reality that Robin Voss says no. And at this point, you know, Tony Evers can prevent Robin Voss from doing bad things, but he can't make Robin Voss do good things, as best I can tell.
Well, John, what do you see the math, the outcome on the budget? I mean, Tony Evers yep. put his budget out there the first time. Republicans trashed it, and then he vetoed theirs and sort of Frankensteined it into something a little bit better. Last time around, he didn't even Frankenstein it, John. He just signed off on the Republican budget and declared victory. John, if you want something, I know they call it log rolling, but you got to negotiate. You got a little this for that. Right? I mean, Donald Trump teach these boys nothing, John?
Well, no, I think Donald Trump taught him plenty. That's the problem. But the challenge that we've got is that, you know, when the last budget came down, Wisconsin was in a very, you know, complicated situation. We kind of were still struggling through COVID. We had some revenues coming in, which was to the good, but we also had a lot of challenges. And I think there was a general sense of, you know, let's not fight. Let's try and get something together here and go for it. And that's, I think, where Evers went. It ultimately proved to be very smart politically because he was reelected by a much wider margin than he was initially elected by in a very complex, very intense election. So politically, he probably made the right move. Practically, you know, I think that we're now at a point where a lot of things are coming to a head. And from Evers' standpoint, it's a good argument now for fighting this out. And again, it's kind of that model that I think we know always in a situation where you're disempowered, where you don't have the full authority that you would like to have. What you have to do in that situation is use the bully pulpit. You have to talk to the people of Wisconsin, not just, you know, live in the Madison bubble, but go beyond it and really push hard for, you know, the policies that you favor. And I think if Evers, with the mandate that he got in the 2022 election, if he were to go out there and really, you know, talk it up, like fight hard for a budget vision, it's not necessarily that he would get it easily, but he might get more of what he wants. And also, remember, if we're talking about the Supreme Court race, this possibility that control of the Supreme Court shifts to a more enlightened majority, and that more enlightened majority chooses to take up the issue of gerrymandering redistricting, then you might have a situation in 2024 where the vision that Tony Evers has put out as governor could be part of a statewide election contest in which possibly Democrats could win. And so there's no loss in fighting at this point. In fact, there's a lot of benefits of fighting for an agenda that, you know, is rooted in economic and social and racial justice, and that has popular issues like legalization of marijuana as a part of it.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's John Nichols from The Nation and the Cap Times friend of ours joining us. John, thank you for doing so. I want to get your sense before we head out to the break here. The January 6th committee referred criminal referrals for Donald Trump and Eastman, but also for some Congress folks, Jim Jordan, Andy Biggs, Scott Perry, and what, the potential incoming Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. Yeah. Now, if Kevin McCarthy is going to put people on the ethics committee that are going to investigate him. What's your thought on the work that January 6th has done so far and where these referrals go?
Do you want to go after the break? Do you want to keep going or not?
we got 2 minutes here, man. We'll go after the break
how
as well.
Much time you've got. If you want to, we can. I'm glad to come back. I can give you a longer explanation. But
yeah, I'll come back after the break as well. We got 2 minutes in this segment yet. What about the ethics referrals for the Congress folks?
Line. It's the dumbest thing I ever heard, right? You know, sort of like, it's like you come down and you say, well, you know, Kevin McCarthy refused to cooperate with this committee, and he needs to be held to account by the Ethics Committee. Excellent. Good idea. Finally, we're going to crack down on Kevin McCarthy. By the way, who's going to be the next Speaker of the House? Oh, that's probably going to be Kevin McCarthy. What's the first thing he's going to do? Oh, he'll appoint the Republicans on the Ethics Committee and the person who will be chairman of the Ethics Committee. So, what's that going to mean? Well, what it means is nothing will happen. And so while I think it's appropriate to have done the referral, they should have done that referral back in the summer when McCarthy and when other people were refusing to cooperate. They should have put it into the Ethics Committee immediately. Even that was unlikely to get much action. doing it at this point is, this is just an exercise in futility, I hate to say. Because I just don't think, Kevin McCarthy is not the smartest politician I've ever dealt with, but even Kevin McCarthy is smart enough not to put somebody on the ethics committee that's going to crack down on Kevin McCarthy.
Well, you're presuming, John Nichols, that Kevin McCarthy's got the votes, and I'm not convinced. I am convinced. I'd like to talk more. John, you got a few more minutes for us?
Yeah, so if we're going to talk Kevin McCarthy, I'm first in line, man.
Well, you are indeed first in queue. John Nichols from The Nation. He's a friend of ours, having a little Christmas wish list. If Santa would only bring us everything on the list this year, John, I'd be a happy camper. Come back. You'll be a happy camper. More of the Devils and more of John Nichols. And you, perhaps, as well. 844-967-2789.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you missed any of this fine program, you can go to civicmedia.us, click on the shows tab, and listen to the Devil's Advocates. Also find us on Spotify, Apple, and Google.
Dominic, we've got the finest of guests. He's stuck around. He's John Nichols from The Nation, friend of ours. John, I got to ask you, the dates have been dropped for the big RNC event coming to Milwaukee. Dom's quite excited, I can tell. July 15th through the 18th of 2024. John, we're going to be the political center of the universe that summer. Yeah, like a summer and a half from now. John, you looking forward to the RNC or something else?
Well,
or no?
No, I certainly hope they come early to enjoy all the French Fête de Marquette-type festivities on July 14th, right? Isn't that like a big Bastille Days and stuff like that, where they storm the castles and
storm the Bastille? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they're going to wrap it up before Brady Street Days, most importantly.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to fit it in. But I'm totally happy they're coming to Milwaukee. It makes me super happy. I've probably not been as happy about a convention, you know, since Chicago 68. because the Republicans, in their genius, have chosen to come to a city that was actually governed for, you know, the better part of half the last century by socialists. So they're going to, you know, I'm hoping that the, you know, Milwaukee city government will have the wisdom to put those banners up by the flagpoles or by the, light poles that say, you know, welcome to Milwaukee City of Socialism. Because I think the Republicans would really like that.
Yeah.
You know, they have little pictures of, you know, like Frank Zeidler and stuff around. You know, so I plan to enjoy it from that standpoint. Otherwise, you know, beyond that, I think that, you know, the Republican convention in Milwaukee is probably going to be very useful in one other way, which is it is going to remind Republicans in real time it will remind Wisconsinites in real time of how Republicans operate and who they are. And usually having the convention in a state helps you politically. But looking at the current condition of the Republican Party, I think there's a pretty good chance that having them come to Milwaukee will absolutely convince Wisconsin not to vote Republican.
John Nichols, my friend Dominic's been putting forth a theory. See if you agree with it. The Republican Party's in disarray. John, Donald Trump's obviously soon to be an indicted former president and presidential candidate. Ron DeSantis got to be sensing the blood in the water. There's about a dozen other Republicans that are going to jump in as soon as we get through the holidays, I suspect, John. And I'm wondering, do you think it's going to be a bloodbath? Because I think Trump may be a diminished candidate, but he's still going for blood. He's still going to chop Ron DeSantis off at the chestnuts, if you know what I'm saying, John.
Well, he's going to dress Ron DeSantis up in white boots and send him out to a flood. The truth of the matter is that Donald Trump has only one thing he's good at. And this is true. He was never good at business. He went bankrupt 4 times. He's certainly not good at being president. That was pretty obvious. But he is really good at shredding other Republicans. And the way he does it is he picks one at a time, right? He never goes against the whole field. He doesn't do like the, you know, Rambo situation where 20 people attack you and you fight them all off, right? No, no, he goes one at a time. He destroys one, and then he gets the next. And I can tell you, he loves doing that, and he is going to love doing it to Ron DeSantis. And the problem for Ron DeSantis is that DeSantis is pretty much as crazy as Trump, right? I mean, he's as bad as Trump on most issues. But the fact is that because the media and the Republican elites are talking about DeSantis as an alternative to Trump, DeSantis effectively becomes the establishment candidate. And there's nothing Trump likes better than hanging that label around somebody. So DeSantis is toast. I mean, in fact, when I look at DeSantis, do you know who I see?
Scott Walker.
Scott Kevin Walker. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The wanker.
I mean, there's always a governor that they get all excited about. And they say, oh, he took on labor. Or, you know, oh, he took on teachers and in the midst of the COVID crisis. Somebody, they have all these like weird theories about something that's going to make somebody attractive nationally. It never translates, and it won't with DeSantis. In fact, the fact of the matter is that I expect you will see a number of people get in. That, by the way, guarantees Trump's victory because Trump has about 30 to 35% of Republicans. So if it's a multi-candidate field, he's coasting. But beyond that, he will have the joy of taking down these other candidates. And one of the funnest things is that, like, Mike Pompeo is going to run. And so Trump is going to actually get to attack a guy who served with Trump throughout Trump's entire administration. And he'll do it.
Oh, he will.
Of course he will. It didn't stop him from going after Mitch McConnell's wife, right? John Nichols from The Nation and The Cap Times. The last 3 minutes we got here, John, I want to get your sense. I saw that you wrote an article at The Nation basically saying that the Dems could have won the House but didn't. Yeah. I want to know what you what happened and what do you think they can do going forward?
That's a very good question. Look, I based the article off some new data that's come through from Inside Elections and from the Cook Report and others. They ran all the numbers. And what they found is that in the five seats that gave Republicans control of the House, remember, they've only got a tiny majority, but in the five seats that actually put them over the top, they had an advantage of about 6,700 votes. That's not a lot to shift, right? So what you realize is this is an incredibly close, you know, variation here, one that Democrats could have done better on just on basic elements. Here's where they really screwed up, and it's something that you guys know, and I think most of your listeners know, and that is they decided to run a very cautious race. They were scared that they were going to lose a lot of seats, and so they put all their resources into protecting incumbents, protecting, you know, like swing seats that they were pretty sure they had, and they pulled their money out of rural seats, especially seats like the 3rd District in Western Wisconsin, which I use as an example. And you know, what they decided at the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, which is, you know, actually the Democratic screw-up congressional races campaign committee, that they were going to pull all the money out, pull all their support out of the 3rd District because they didn't think Brad Fast could win. He wasn't exciting enough to them. And so did a lot of the other Democratic-oriented groups, PACs, et cetera. So Fast was left out there in a distinct disadvantage. He was outspent by about $5 million. Overwhelmingly, you know, outgunned. And yet, when the votes were counted, he got over 48% of the vote. He ran better than some of the Republicans or some of the Democrats in targeted races. And so if we understand that, and if we look also at similar races in Oregon, in Western Montana, in Texas, what you realize is that the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee has a rural problem. They're scared of rural districts. They don't understand them. They pull their money out. They lose, but they lose narrowly. And if they had just had their resources there, they would have won those seats. And if Brad Pfaff and a handful of other people had won the victories that were certainly within reach, they would be in Congress right now and or headed to Congress, and Democrats would have their majority.
And then we might know that Kevin McCarthy was not going to be the speaker. Now we got to wonder. John Nichols, don't have to wonder. We'll look forward to having you back in the new year, maybe around January 3rd, the time they won't vote for Kevin McCarthy as speaker. Merry Christmas, John. We'll talk real soon. The Happier Happy Hour is next. Stick around, everyone.